So at that time, hundreds and thousands of coward boys came out of their respective homes in Brajabhumi and joined Krishna, keeping before them their hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. And the boys were very beautiful. They were very beautiful, as Krishna is so beautiful. Each of his associates has a body that's composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And it is so beautiful and individual. And each boy was very beautiful. And they all had their lunch bags. Someone mentioned that. I didn't acknowledge it. What were the boys carrying? They carried their food, lunch baskets, sticks, flutes. Their flutes would be tucked. They would wear belts of cloth. And they would put their flutes in there, and they would all play their flutes. And they would have their sticks for controlling the calves. And boys being boys, they were always laughing and playing and pushing each other and just having a good time with no anxieties at all. And there wasn't a great anxiety about, oh, how are we going to take care of the calves? And, oh, we have an unlimited number of calves. What are we going to do? So hard to take care of. One with 17-0, what happens if we... No achinta. No anxiety at all. This is Vaikuntha. No anxieties at all. Everything is simply meant, not exactly even arranged by Krishna, arranged by Krishna's Leela Shakti, and we'll hear about this later, just to increase the rasa and the ecstasies. Everything arranged. This is the spiritual world. Everything arranged for Krishna's pleasure, to increase Krishna's ecstasy. And what's Krishna's ecstasy? To increase the ecstasy of the devotees. And what's the devotees' ecstasy? To increase Krishna's ecstasy. And this way, because it's pure love, it's ever-increasing, anandam buddhi vardhanam. So the boys went out with Krishna. Krishna vatsara sankyatar yuti juti kritya savatsakan charya yanto riba lilabhya virahus tatra tatraha. Along with the cowherd boys, who each had their own groups of calves, Krishna came. They each had an unlimited group of, all the unlimited boys had unlimited calves to take care of, and Krishna came out with his unlimited number of calves. Now try to put that onto your hard drive and figure out what it is. But it doesn't serve reality. God and what he does doesn't fit conveniently into our finite minds. What is the meaning of God then? He's infinite. Then all the boys, they all got together, and all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Although all these boys, so the next verses start describing first how they looked, what they were wearing, and then how they were sporting. Although all these boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, it doesn't describe what this kacha is. Maybe someone knows. Gunja. This is the season. Well, just actually a few weeks ago, there were gunja. You know what kacha is?
Kacha.
Oh. So the way that their dhotis were, it could be. And gunja, this is the season when the gunja vines give their gunja berries. And the little red with a black spot little berries. And then they're strung and make very wonderful necklaces that are the ornament in Braja. And they were wearing these kaja gunja berry necklaces, pearls and gold. And their mothers wanted them to go out looking so beautiful. This is the nature of the mothers. So they dressed them so carefully and put kajal in their eyes for their healthy eyes, which enhanced the beauty of the boys still further. They put, all the boys wore different types of crowns and jewels here and jewels there and ankle bells. And what were they made out of? They were made out of gold and jewels and pearls. These things are very auspicious. Plastic is not auspicious. Very, it has a vibration that brings happiness, practically speaking, and it uplifts the consciousness, these natural ornamentations. But when they, although the boys were wearing all this, and they were so beautiful already, soon as they got to the forest of Vrindavan, they further decorated themselves with green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and soft minerals. They would paint each other. They would paint themselves. We see when you look at Krishna and Balaram and the deities, all the deities everywhere, but how they carefully paint with different colored minerals. And although the boys were already decorated so beautifully, until they had accepted the gifts that the forest of Vrindavan was offering, they didn't feel like they were fully decorated properly. So they would take the different minerals and paint on very, very, very softly and gently and delicately, like your Kanayalal, just painted so in detail and so exquisitely. And all the boys, they would look, and who... Of course, it's very hard to paint your own face, you know, and make it very, very beautiful. So all the boys would want to go to Krishna and put all the decorations on Krishna. And again, there were unlimited boys. So Krishna would expand himself, and every boy would think, oh, I can do better than that one. He only did it this way. Just like when one has one's own deities. One, the way that one dresses one's own deities, one does it in just the way, oh, I know how to dress these deities. And it brings such, there's a reciprocation between the deity and the bhakta, the devotee. And the devotee gives, or Krishna gives the devotee who's decorating the deity such happiness and intelligence and inspiration on just how to do it, and such happiness that, oh, and Krishna is so kind. So for each coward boy who wanted to decorate him, he expanded himself. Otherwise, the whole day would have been spent just decorating Krishna. One, okay, next, take the, that boy didn't do very well. I'll do it. No. So in this way, and the minerals of Vrindavan, and they would take the fruits, and the trees were so happy they were giving to Krishna and the coward boys for their pleasure. The trees and the peacocks were dancing and dropping their feathers. And all the different seasons were presenting the gift of that season. And the peacock feathers were everywhere, and this feather and that feather, and the boys would take them, and they were pushing and playing with Krishna, the only lovable object. And how happy this is, we cannot say. But we can glimpse. So they began to decorate themselves with bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and soft minerals. The whole Vrindavan forest was making its offering. And when one makes one's offering of, like the peacock had his offering of the dancing and the peacock feathers. So one, and the gunja vine has its offering of the little gunja berries, and all year long it grows, and then it produces the little pod, and then at one particular time of the year the gunja berries come. So how happy, and what is the meditation of the gunja vine the whole year? Just let me give this to Krishna. All year he's forming this this wonderful berry. So how did they play? They were decorated so wonderfully. Different colored cloth. Not everyone wearing black like the teenagers nowadays. But all different colors. Every color, bright colors. Bright colors, happy colors. And then one coward boy would steal another coward boy's lunch bag. He would be holding it on the end of his stick, maybe, and one of the boys would come over, take it. And then when he understood that his bag had been taken away, the other boys would throw it further away to a more distant place. And those standing there would throw it still further. So he would be running and running and running. And when the proprietor of the bag became disappointed because the boys were teasing him and bullying him so much, the other boys would laugh at him. And then the proprietor of the bag, and then when he would cry, all right, you're a crybaby. You take your bag back. Ah, cry, and all the boys, crybaby. And they would tease him in this, and they would do this to Krishna. And Krishna would cry and threaten, I'm going to tell Mother Yasoda on you that you're teasing me. And the boys would, tell your mother, crybaby. How intimate. Can you do this to the king? Can a subject do this to the king? Walk in, he comes into the court, the guards are there with their spears and their guns. And he's there in his, you know, he's holding the scepter of his ruling. And someone walks in and takes the scepter and says, I took your scepter. And immediately, it's off with his head because he hasn't showed the proper respect. Off with his head. But when he's at home, in his private quarters, his beloved children come and tease him. They ride on his back. Maybe he gets down on all fours and his child rides on his back. Walk faster, walk faster. And in the court, he doesn't do that. No one can jump on his back. But which gives him more pleasure? Everyone coming to him and offering prayers, but actually in their hearts thinking, I'm praying to you, O Supreme Lord, O Powerful One, but in their heart thinking, please don't drop the piano on my head. Please make sure this business deal comes through. Please save this one. Please do this. Please do that for me, 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 me. And if he wasn't so all compassionate, he would get very, very tired of that. But that's not his real pleasure. His real pleasure is his enjoyment with those who love him, who he can trust fully, who don't want anything from him but want to see him happy. And then Aishwarya Madhurya Karunye, Sarupa Purnata. Aishwarya Madhurya Karunye, Sarupa Purnata. But Bhakta Vatsalya Parjanta Vadanyata. That Krishna gives himself to those who worship him in pure love. Unselfishly. He gives himself, and that's what Vrindavan is. So they're playing so intimately because they're trusted. Krishna can relax with them. Completely relax and be himself. Yes. And his self is over. That's what his self is. It's overflowing with the desire to bring ecstasy to these souls, these persons. That's what Krishna is. Most intimate and most difficult to understand. So, maybe, Adi, could you hand out that sheet now, the sheets of four? So what the Bhagavatam does, after preparing us carefully with the first 9 cantos, Sukadev Goswami, Srila Vyasadev, and Sutta Goswami, and Srila Prabhupada, and the Acharyas, after preparing our consciousness, leading us by the hand, leading us by the hand carefully into Vrindavan. Now, this particular sheet that you've just gotten, if you've just gotten it, has 24 verses on it. The first one, number one, is the one that's the next verse that we'll read right now. And there's some from some other chapters of the 10th canto as well. But the first verse is the one we're going to read now. Raise your hand if you don't have your sheet yet. Keep it up so the devotees distributing them can... Jagatwini Mataji needs one. Adi. So this first verse continues the same theme. I'll read the first two lines, or the first line, and then repeat after me. It breaks it right in half. Yadi duram gata Krishna. Vana shobekshanayatam. Aham purvam, aham purvam. Iti samsprishare mire. Yadi duram gata Krishna. Vana shobekshanayatam. Aham purvam, aham purvam. Iti samsprishyarimare. If, yadi, duram, dur, a distant place, gata, went, Krishna. So sometimes, Krishna would leave the cowherd boys, amazingly enough, although they would be always trying to not let Krishna leave, Krishna would leave and go to a gata, dur. He would go to a dur, a far place. Vana shobha, ikshanaya, for visiting. Ikshanaya means for seeing or enjoying. The vana shobha, the beauty of the forest. Because Vrindavan forest was always manifesting newer and newer, more amazing and beautiful things for Krishna to enjoy. Again, reality is serving Krishna's pleasure. And then when Krishna would be in a distant place, looking at something beautiful, then the boys, iti samsprisha remare, or iti samsprisha, they would run to Krishna to touch him, saying, aham purvam, I will be first to touch Krishna. I will be first to touch Krishna. And they would run to Krishna like this, with their arms spread out, to embrace Krishna. I will touch Krishna. I will embrace him first. And Krishna would put out his arms. And when one boy would come, he would embrace Krishna, and Krishna would embrace that boy. Intimate relationship with God. With the Param Ishwara. Embracing. And Krishna, because all the boys, the unlimited boys, would be running to Krishna. Krishna would become unlimited Krishnas to give everyone a very, very warm and tight embrace. What would it be like to embrace Krishna, whose body is all attractive, he is all attractive, who is all beautiful, who is all strong, his body is composed of Sat-Chit Ananda. What would it be like to embrace Krishna? What are the qualifications required for someone to have such an intimate relationship that when he would run to Krishna like this, Krishna would embrace him tightly and hold him. You know, that wonderful and famous picture of Krishna embracing the cowherd boy who, from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What's his name? Gop Kumar. Embracing him, the our Sharma, the Biju Sharma, was so inspired because there is such an intimate exchange of affection like that. And also interesting one, probably, I think it was Sanatana Goswami, he describes it when Kaliya had Krishna so tightly in his coils and in his embrace. Krishna stayed in that embrace, although he's all powerful, he could have freed himself at any moment. He stayed for one muhurta, or 48 moments, minutes. And Sanatana Goswami, who was seeing it from a different level, he said, why did Krishna stay within the embrace of Kaliya for 48 minutes? Because when someone greets you with a warm embrace, it is not polite to break yourself free quickly. So Krishna accepted it, Sanatana Goswami, as the love, the loving embrace. So the cowherd boys were embracing Krishna. And Krishna was, if we embrace someone in this world that we love, there is so much happiness comes to the heart. What to speak of? What to speak of? Chandra Shaka Nyaya. What, just imagine if embracing a beloved in this world brings some happiness and satisfaction to the heart. Just imagine what it would be like if one's heart was completely full of love for Krishna and embracing Krishna in that way. And Krishna, aham purvam, I want to touch Krishna. So the next set of verses, there's they're grouped in the Bhagavatam, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'll just read the first four in English, and then separately we'll read the fifth, which is the 11th verse, which is a very important verse especially from the tattva point of view. So more of Krishna's pastimes, 7 through 10. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, and others blew bugles made of horns. Others imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees. Is there a bumblebee buzzer around who knows how to do that one? Bzzz. So the boys in Vrindavan, I haven't seen very many, but I've seen some. There are these huge bumblebees, Brahmar. Not the wasps, there's these golden wasps. And there's little honeybees, but there's these huge bumblebees. Has anyone ever seen a Vrindavan bumblebee? Raise your hand if you've seen. Yeah, they're very, very, very big. And black, very black. So the boys would bzzz and follow them around. Because the whole, just listen for a second. Let's see what sounds we can hear. So the Vrindavan forest, those were what? What were they? Parrots, it sounded like, yes. So the whole Vrindavan forest was always full of wonderful sounds, not tractor sounds, and not big loud speakers blaring, and not banging and hammering, but wonderful spiritual natural sounds that make the atmosphere still more pleasing and still more soothing to enhance the love of Krishna and the experience of Krishna. So they were playing flutes and blowing on their horns. They imitating the buzzing of the bumblebees. Others imitated the voice of the cuckoos. Some imitated birds flying by running after the birds' shadows on the ground. They're boys, so they're playing like that. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks The boys playing with their beloved, sitting silently. Others imitated the dancing of the peacocks. And there are other places in the Bhagavatam where it describes how Krishna would imitate the dancing of the peacocks. And the peacocks would, everyone would acknowledge that Krishna's dancing was the best of all, almost the best of all. And sometimes there would be young baby monkeys, and they would pull their tails. I wouldn't advise you to try this with the current inhabitants of Vrindavan, those monkeys, because they can get quite heavy. But they would play with the monkeys. They would make monkey faces at the monkeys. They would pull their tails. They would climb into the trees. They would jump from branch to branch, all with Krishna. And some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the rivers, so everything was green and luxuriant. They would jump with the frogs, and when they saw their own reflections in the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. So they would say, they would look at the water, just imagine the scene, the beautiful boys, all decorated with gold and jewels, and the forest minerals, and Krishna there with a peacock feather on his head, decorated by all the most beautiful, effulgent, his garments like lightning, and the atmosphere so soothing, and there would be sounds of frogs and bumblebees and parrots and peacocks, and they would come to a waterfall with the beautiful sound of water falling, and boys wanting to play, and they would look in the pool of water that was very still, and they would see them, their own reflection, and they'd say, "Who are you?" And then they would hear an echo coming back, "Who are you? I asked you first. Who are you? I asked you first. Who are you? I'm Krishna. I'm Krishna." Looks again. Hey, looks like Krishna. "I am the son of Nanda Maharaj. I am the son of Nanda Maharaj. If you don't stop repeating back to me, I'm going to hit you. If you don't stop repeating back to me, I'm going to hit you. You have a lot of nerve. You have a lot of nerve." And Krishna would become angry at the reflection, and in the mood of the Leela, Krishna, who again is Sat Aishwarya Purna, and it is impossible for us to understand what it's like being God, obviously, being Krishna, but he would forget that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would become Mugdata. He would forget it, and he would become angry at his reflection. And the boys would say, "Oh, look, Krishna, he's angry. Don't get angry. Don't get angry." And they would tease him, and he'd, "Stop pushing me." So this relationship of Krishna and his friends, Krishna and his parents, Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and all the trees of Vrindavan, of Giriraj, this is something that's most, most, most extraordinary. Unlimitedly extraordinary. Now, in the 11th verse, which is verse number 2 on the sheet, let's say that, and let's understand something from this. Please repeat after me. Itam satam brahmasukhana bhutya.
Itam satam brahmasukhana bhutya.
Dasyam gatanam paradaivatvena. Maya Shritanam Naraptarakena.
Maya Shritanam Naraptarakena.
Sakam Dizarur Kita Punja Punja. Itam Satam Brahmasukhana Bhutya.
Itam Satam Brahmasukhana Bhutya.
Dasam gatanam paradai vitrena. Maya sitananam naradarakena. Sakam bijaru kita punja punja. Now this verse offers some philosophy and a perspective at this point. That there are different kinds of spiritualists, there are different types of religionists, there are different type of worshippers. So itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya. There are those, the jnanis, who worship and desire. They worship Krishna, perhaps even, or Vishnu, but with the desire to merge into the effulgence of Krishna. Impersonalists, Mayavadis. So that's one type of a worshipper. So they have some relationship with the Absolute Truth. And then there's dasyam gatanam paradaiva trena. There are those worshippers of God, the typical religionists who want to, the best of the typical religionists who want to be the dasya, or the servant of the Lord. And then, so that's another type of a spiritualist, religionist. And then maya sritananam naradarakena. Then there are those who are covered by the Lord's illusory energy, and they think he is Nara Dharakena. They just see Krishna as an ordinary person. How could you worship someone who herds cows and walks around the land of Vrindavan without shoes? Ordinary person. But, Sakyam, the friends of Krishna, Sakyam Vicharu, Krita Punja Punja. What type of punya, pious activities, must these boys have done for countless, countless, countless lives? What have they done to have achieved such an intimate relationship with the Absolute Truth, with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So Sukadev is speaking this to say how wonderfully incredible is the intimacy of these cowherd boys' relationship with Krishna. Unimaginable by the jnanis, the ecstasy that they are perceiving. The ecstasies. Neither the materialists who think Krishna is an ordinary person, nor the impersonalists, nor the ordinary devotees have any access into understanding what the intimacy that these residents of Vrindavan, the intimacy of their love, and how they are reciprocating with Krishna, and how that all-powerful Lord is reciprocating with them. And what did it take for them to gain this incredible position? In his commentary, we'll read what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says about this verse. We'll read part of it. Although Krishna is made of complete bliss, he experienced ecstasy, intense ecstasy, playing with the Vrijbasis in various pastimes of love. They too attained the topmost position of joy in his association. Therefore, the Vrijbasis are more fortunate than all others. Of course, this is, you can't compare what the Vrijbasis are experiencing to anyone. For the Nitya Siddha Brijbasis, the eternally liberated Brijbasis, Krishna's eternal associates, who far, far, far surpass the jnanis and the ordinary dasya bhaktas, the ordinary servants of the Lord. The cause of their playing with Krishna is not material piety. Because it's kritta punya punya. What piety have they done? The cause of their playing with Krishna. And of course, this question is so relevant for us. What did they do to attain, to gain access into Krishna's lila? Because on one hand, we want to clean the heart. On the other hand, we want to be planted on our heart the desire to serve Krishna and to love Krishna as the Brijbasis love Krishna. This is the gift of Mahaprabhu. So what they did to attain this is very relevant. Here the word punya can only mean activities pleasing to Krishna, not ordinary piety. But they perform lifetime after lifetime of activities pleasing for Krishna, by which, and listen to this, my dear devotees, by which Krishna came under their control. In other words, their love increased to such a degree that Krishna, who is the all-powerful, became controlled by that love. This has nothing to do, Vishwanath Chakravarti concludes, with anything material. Materially good deeds or offering material things to Krishna. It has to do with love only. The next verse, which is the next one on here, text 3, we won't read it. I'll read the English, and then to heighten, underline the fortune of the devotees who are playing with Krishna in this way, will understand how rare this type of braja bhakti is. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births. We can understand for many, many, many births by practicing yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, none of which are easily performed. This takes such incredible mental control and austerity to bring the mind under control. Yogis may do that for countless births, yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, when they reach their perfection, they will be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How fortunate these boys are, not only touching or tasting the dust of his feet, they're exchanging embraces with him. They're pushing him. They're making him cry and teasing him. How intimate. And the yogis have not access to the slightest glimpse of anything to do with this. But we haven't answered the question how to attain it. But that will come. What then can we describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment here is not long, but you've all been sitting very patiently to a very long talk. So I'll ask you to, but it's so important, I'd like you to listen carefully. Despite the austerities that you're performing. Please listen. What to speak of playing with Krishna, even establishing a relationship with Krishna, is very rare. That is the intent of this verse. The yogis cannot attain even one particle of dust of Krishna's feet, Parapamsu from the verse. Nor can the yogis attain one particle of reflected light from the trees of Vrindavan. They cannot even attain a particle of the reflected light. This is how far they are away from Braja. From the trees of Vrindavan, the effulgence of the trees of Vrindavan, the reflection of that, what to speak of that effulgence they cannot attain. Those who fully concentrate their minds cannot attain Krishna. Thus was stated earlier that Krishna's sukhapa, not easily attained. Swayam stita indicates that seeing Krishna does not even depend on the performance of sadhana. It does not even depend on the performance of sadhana, the practices. What does this mean? What does it depend on? After we have our break, we will start take a look at what it does depend on. We have some very interesting commentaries and quotations on what it takes. Oh, what great fortune, Dishtamita. Oh, what a happy festival. Who can describe the good fortune or happiness of the Brijbasis who see Krishna constantly? Such fortune is unobtainable by the yogis, though they concentrate their minds for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, sinning yam niyam, everything, asan, pranayam, pratyahara, dhyan, dharan, dharan, dhyan, samadhi. They cannot even get even the slightest bit close. They cannot even attain a particle of dust from Krishna's lotus feet. So why don't we take, now it's 11:15. Practical probably to come and we'll continue this tract. How to attain it is the question. How to get close. How to enter. How to become the kind of devotee that we want to become, a devotee that loves Krishna. So that will be the subject of the second half of the talk. Now it's, according to my watch, it's 11:15 exactly. At 11:30, please come and we'll begin immediately at that time. Balogiri Raj Maharaj Ki! Yeah!